just gonna sit quietly.
I'm gonna do my best. Do my best, Andy. So. All right. And your mic should be ready to go there. Test it out for me one time.
Hey, check one.
All right. Taylor Austin Dye, how you doing?
I'm good for the most part.
So it sounds like the allergies may have got you when you got to Texas, or did it already kind of mess with you?
Yeah, I got something going on. I got a sinus infection is what they tell me. So.
Oh, man. Well, my rule about sinuses is never up, always out. So, like, you know how your nose gets runny mm-hmm. and you have the temptation to sniff it?
Uh-huh.
Like, that's how it gets impacted up there to cause a sinus infection. Because, and so our sinuses are the, and I'm not a doctor, okay? I've just tried to figure out what it is. And so there's these, like, tunnels that go through our face. And those are our sinuses. They go all up to our eyes and maybe into our, somewhere into our forehead, possibly. I'm not totally sure. That's why, like, neti pots, when people pour that. You ever seen that neti pot?
Oh, yeah, I've done that before.
I can't do that. You're brave. I can't do it. So,
well, that makes sense.
Yeah, and so if you sniff, you're forcing it up, and so there's no way out. And so the stickier parts get stuck up there, and then that's how you get the infection.
Well, that would explain why my head feels like it's about to explode.
Exactly. So my rule is I always blow it out no matter how gross I feel, no matter what's, if I have to leave the room and go away, I'm going to blow it. I'm not going to sniff it. And it's a hard habit to do because it's just natural to,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it just is what it is. And it does kind of come out, but it doesn't come all the way out. Anyways, that's my little tidbit of information.
The more you know.
Because like here in Texas, we get killed with the oak. The oak pollen, our trees start, everything turns yellow and you're just like sneezing, you're scratchy throat, swollen lymph nodes,
that
and all
could be
that.
It. I was in Texas all last week, so.
It could be it. And so, like, the sinus is just your body reacting to yeah. the weirdness. So, anyways, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you still made the
yeah,
trip.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here.
So, I picked the wrong day to not wear my jeans and boots and belt buckle. Mm. Just so you know, I normally am.
I'll let it slide.
Semi-cowboyed up, right? But I'm not a cowboy, just from Texas. And, you know, I had some notes from listening to your music this morning on the drive-in because it was, I had to share it with you because I didn't have any expectation, which is my favorite way to listen to music, and I just kept taking away. I was like, wow, it's not at all what I thought was coming every time. I said it was, your voice was a cross between Elle King and Ashley McBride. Like, that's kind of the energy I get from you, right? Because you have your own unique voice. So let's take it back to the beginning. Let's find out when did you find your voice. When did you first start singing?
I actually started singing professionally, getting paid, when I was 5 years old. I was on a variety show in Eastern Kentucky at a venue called Renfro Valley. And they had a barn dance every Friday or Saturday night. And I would sing, play the fiddle, and clog every weekend.
Are you serious? That's wild.
Dead serious,
so,
yeah.
By yourself, solo act? Or were you with like a tandem?
No, it was just a solo.
It was this mom's idea, dad's idea? Or were you just...
I loved it.
You were gassed. You were ready.
Yeah.
Wow.
I just really showed interest. Like when I started kindergarten, I had like really bad anxiety. And it was a whole thing. But then this man named Mr. Wilson came to our class and sang Puff the Magic Dragon to us. And I went home and told my mom, I want to take lessons from him. And she was like, anything to keep you from crying until lunch every day. Yes. And so that's how it started.
Wow, that's amazing. Mm-hmm. And you told me your hometown's name, and I'd never heard of it. I thought I heard Kentucky.
Eastern Kentucky. I always just say Eastern Kentucky because my hometown is 150 people. The name of the town is Boonville.
Boonville, with an M or an N?
Boonville. Like Daniel Boone.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Is that where he's from? Or he's nearby?
He passed through there. I
feel like Daniel Boone's like one of the most legendary guys of all time. Because like Tennessee and Texas or Kentucky all have like that sort of history time. Because like mm-hmm. Texas is in Texas about the Tennessee Volunteers and the people from that area right. at that time. You know,
He passed through there for like a couple nights when he was journeying. So I guess that's how we got that.
What's it feel like having such a huge fan base now and you come from such a small town? Do you ever like compare that and think about that? Man, that's like 100,000 in my hometown right there.
It's crazy because, like I said, there's 150 people in the city and there's only 4,700 in the whole county. So, you know, comparatively, I'm really bad at math, but.
Yeah, me too. Don't get me counting.
You know, I've got over a couple million, you know, across platforms.
Right.
And it's just crazy to compare that to the map dot that I come from.
Well, and I think about like the number of people, like the number of streams, when you think of the people listening, right? And like how many times they listen, and like that just, like, that's got to be like some stadiums or major cities, you know what I mean? Like if you put all those people in one place.
It blows my mind. And you think about it, like if I post a video, I'm like, oh, only 100,000 people saw this. And then I'm like, wait a minute, that is the most stupid thing I could ever think, because even 15,000 people, you know, just imagine all those people that, you know, you come across their feed.
And now you're getting to do radio tour. Was country radio always kind of part of like your life growing up too, growing up in the small town?
Always had the radio going in the car. I actually worked in radio after I graduated college for 2 years.
Oh, really?
I had my own drive time show from 3 to 6 every day.
Oh, watch out. That's my shift. So what was the station?
It was WSKV 104.9.
You got a good voice.
It
works.
In Central Kentucky.
Come on, girl.
It's like when I say it, I go into radio mode.
For sure.
You know?
For sure. It's like the positioner. You got to like it. And also, people always ask me if I change my voice when I talk on the radio. And it is a little bit, but I just say it's projecting. Like, yeah. It's not really changing. It's
and
just
enunciating.
Right. It's just being clear. And I'm an only child, so I sat in my room with a little microphone. Just like practice. You're an only child too?
Yeah.
Oh man. Maybe that's part of the special, because we had to sit with ourselves, you know?
Yeah, a lot of time alone.
Yeah, and you know, and I finally came to peace with the solitude. I kind of felt like, well, God must have wanted me to be alone for a reason. Like he wanted me to figure something out. I kind of came to that peace. I was like, okay, thankfully I found a wonderful woman now, but so not alone anymore. But I had to come to that peace. Being an only child was kind of tough. You always had to learn
just entertaining yourself, really,
and sitting with your thoughts. Mm-hmm. Like that was kind of our only friend, was our conscience. You know what I mean? It was like, man, where can my mind take me? You know?
Yeah. Maybe that's why we're in the creative industry.
I think so, for sure.
Makes
and
sense.
Do you like to read?
I love to read.
Same. I saw stacks of books.
Yes, I am a big reader. I read like 30 something books last year. I'm trying to do 60 this year. I've already got to like 12, so I think I'm definitely gonna make it.
So do you have a niche that you like, or do you just bounce around?
I love everything. Like, I was really into Project Hail Mary last year. That was probably my favorite read of the year. This year I'm reading the Dungeon Crawler Carl series.
Oh my goodness.
I've just started the Harry Potter series for the first time this year, so
how's that going?
You know what, I've never seen the movies or read the books.
Me neither.
So it's good. It's like a whole new world.
I always end up in this. So I had this theory when I was between like 16 and 20 that reading was going to be my college. Like, because I went to college, but I didn't really go to college, right? Like I was trying. I really tried for like the first semester, and then I got into radio, and it was all a wash. But my theory was that if I read books regularly, I would still be learning. Like, I can learn whatever I'm reading. So I was going to make that time spent like enriching my mind somehow. And so like I ended up in all these like consciousness, law of attraction, like in all of those, like Deepak Chopra or Paolo Coelho, or however you say his name.
The Alchemist.
Yeah. Oh man, what a book, right? Like,
but Four Agreements is one that I come back to
come
every
on,
year.
Come on, girl. Let's go. I read that book every year.
Me too.
I give it as gifts like that. I swear I felt like that should be required reading for middle school and high school kids. Cause it's just straight up how to live a good life and be good to people.
I have sent copies to all my friends. Like, yep. If on Amazon, I'm like, have you read this? You've not read it? I'm sending it to your house.
Yeah, same. I had this one moment where Don Miguel Ruiz Jr. was speaking in San Antonio, and I was like, wow, I didn't see this, and popped on my Facebook feed or whatever. I was like, when is that happening? I was like, oh shoot, it's tonight. And I was like, where's it happening? Holy smoke. It was 1 mile away from the radio station where I was. And I was like, I guess I'm going.
That's the universe.
Yeah. And I sat in the front row, and it was about the law of attachment. It was the five laws of attachment. I felt like that was really important for being on the radio, how to detach from the things that you feel, this belongs to me, or I own this. Well, you don't really own anything, you know?
Ever.
And then and then there's also like the idea that you don't put too much investment of your attachment to things, you know, that don't deserve it, you know? But let's get back to your music. So, because you're on this radio tour, how many cities have you visited? Have you kept track of all of them so far?
Oh my gosh. I have been writing everything down in my planner. I don't have it with me right now, but this is week 5, if you count CRS, of every day. So we've been Kentucky, Ohio, Texas, Colorado, Florida, Georgia, North Carolina, South Carolina. And then we're hitting the Northeast later this week.
And then CRS, I've never actually been. I only went virtually in 2020. So what was that like?
CRS is fun. I mean, it is crazy. It's a lot of, you know, press. I think I did 12 interviews one day in a row. So that was kind of crazy. I played in the suite. Our label gets a suite, and we went up there and had Kentucky Bourbon Night. So me and the other Kentucky artist that is signed to Red Street, we all drank bourbon and we sang songs, and it was a great night.
Man, I love that. So tell me about the radio single.
So this is my first ever radio single. I'm learning so much. But it's called Man for That, and sonically, we always joke that it's like a mix between Shania Twain and Nickelback, because that was what I told them when I went in to produce it. And if you listen to it, you'll definitely hear that. And it's just a sassy, like very women, you know, like feminine song. And, you know, I think it's got some attitude behind it and it's really fun to sing live. So that's kind of my whole MO. I just love fun songs and upbeat stuff. And I think this is my perfect introduction into country radio.
Yeah. When I heard that single, I heard it after I'd listened to a few of your other records. And so I was like, oh, this is a great definition of your music. Cause mm-hmm. like there's no slowing down, which was another one of the things I wrote down. I said, the production of it reminds me of Coe Wetzel a little bit. It's got this dot, 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 dot.
He's my favorite ever.
Well, you're welcome. I just like there was, I think it might have been this single because I listened to like four or five in a row and I was just like, just really to get a feel for you, you know? And I was like, man, it's kind of got Coe Wetzel production vibe to it where it's just a dot, 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 a little guitar riff
His
underneath
name is
the,
often
the bass.
Thrown around when we are in the studio, you know, as far as inspiration. You know, when I hire my guys to come in and play, I'm like, all right, well, you know the vibe. Like,
well, that's what I was wondering, too, because I know you may rewrite the song with the guitar. And then I was like, in your mind, do you already have the drums where they're going to come in? And like, as you're writing the song and it's, you get, okay, here's the song. It's on the guitar. This is where I want the drums to come in. Then I want this, like, I want the crescendo to be here. Like, do you think of it like that? Or is that where the production guys come in? Is that where the team works together to make the song?
So, really, usually, like, these days, you know, I write with a track guy is what we call him. And so, for example, I told him Shania Twain Nickelback, and he turns around the computer and starts building the track right there. And so he's coming up with these riffs, and I'm like, oh, we'll do this there, whatever. And then we actually write to the track, which is really cool. So it was the finished version is pretty close to what the original version that we came out of this, the writing room with that day.
Wow. So y'all, so it's like, Okay. So it's almost like I dare to say, like a rapper with a beat in a roundabout way. You have like this concept, mm-hmm. and you have this energy that you want to bring out, mm-hmm. and then you build this song, and then you're like, now let's sort of paint the walls and turn it into the whole piece.
That's
and then,
exactly how it works.
And I said, it's like driving a monster truck doing 200 miles an hour.
I love it
because like it was so smooth, but also like you knew that there was like ruggedness to all the music. Like there was, you know, there was no real soft edges. It wasn't really about being flowery, like it was unapologetic, you know.
And I'm very opposite of flowery, if you can't tell.
But you also have a great personality, like and you know, to quote Ella Langley, you're more dandelion. You know what I mean? Like because I think that's the beauty of where music's at right now. The genuine artist who kind of had this story to tell and have this real artistry are really kind of rising to the mm-hmm. top, and they're standing out, you know. And I think that speaks to why you're seeing so much success at, you know, when I look through your numbers, I'm like, man. Then I listen to the song, I'm like, well, duh. Like, there you go. Like, it's well produced, well written, and it's just different than a lot of the stuff that's out there. Yeah. So what's next for you? Like, are you on tour? Got any tour plans? You're gonna rest this voice up? And
yeah, well, that's definitely the goal, is to rest a little bit before we start our Damn Good Day tour, and that is starting in April 18th, I think, is our first date, and we have like, I don't know, 15 cities lined up. We're going to be gone for at least a full month and maybe a little more. But we're going to be back here in Texas. We're going to be in Colorado, Missouri, Michigan, or is it Minnesota? One of those M's.
Do you bust that?
Ohio. I wish. We are still rocking the 16-passenger van and 10-foot trailer.
Okay. So you ride with the same guys? You got the people how long have you been playing with them on stage now?
I've had this band for about a year, so we've all got pretty close, you know, being on the road so much together.
Imagine.
Yeah, so it's me, my band, my husband's my tour manager, and my friend Kaylee is my photographer and videographer.
So you got a little family
yeah.
unit there.
Yeah, we're very close. to be in a van together that long.
Well, also, you're also trusting your space with people that you don't really know, too. You know, I mean, you know them and you know that they're professionals, but at the same time, you're getting to know everyone on the fly. You know, like it's almost like a reality show, I imagine.
Oh, I wish we had cameras to follow us around. It would get some good ratings, I'll tell you that.
And have you done the tour stretches before? Mm-hmm. And so it's not really new to you, but are they new venues, some of the same ones?
A lot of new venues. I don't think I'm doing any repeat venues that I've ever been to. So these are all going to be new. And I'm headlining it, so, you know, I'm going to get to really meet the ride or dies, is what my fans are called, the ride or dies, in these cities, and hopefully sell some out.
That's how I know we're vibing, because I was actually, my next question was, do you have a name for your fans? And yes. Then you just answered it for me without having to ask. I love that.
Ride or dies.
All right, so well, hit me with all the socials so someone who's listening, they can go follow you on social media and keep hitting you up.
It's easy. It's Taylor Austin Dye on all the sites. Dye with a Y, not with an I. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter,
what else
YouTube.
Is there?
Christian Mingle, Farmers Only.
All of them.
All of them.
Do you run all your stuff? Do you stay on there? Yeah. Is it getting to where it's hectic yet?
It's been hectic. Yeah. But yeah, I'm still running it. I love it, honestly. You know, I feel like when I have someone post for me, it kind of takes a little bit of that authenticity away. So as long as I'm able, I'm going to run my accounts.
Yeah, that's, you know, mine's not crazy by any stretch, but sometimes I'm like, do I even want to do this anymore? Do I want to reply to all these messages? Like,
yeah.
But also it means so much to people that, and for me, like, obviously I'm not singing songs that I've written, but I am like talking to people on the radio and they do feel connected to me. And it'll be 12 years next month that I've been on the radio in Houston.
Wow.
And so like a lot of them, these people are now telling me, oh, you've raised me, Nick. I've been listening to you since I was 12. I'm like, oh, great. I'm that old now, you know, like, but also I know that it does mean something to them, you know, and I'm not really the biggest fan of what social media is doing to us as a culture and as a society, right? But I know that if I can be a light that like actually cares about this person, and there might not be a lot of people in their life that actually care about them or take time for them, and they're reaching out to me because they're like, well, maybe he will, you know.
Yeah.
And so if I can give them that,
you never know who you're going to help.
You know, 30 seconds, you know,
fans come up and tell me, you know, they were thinking about ending their life, and then, you know, they saw this song, or, you know, it's just like a lot of crazy stories like that. So you never know who you're reaching. And now, you know, we have worldwide opportunity that didn't have that, you know, in the 90s. And so now I just feel like it's a blessing and a curse, social
yeah.
media. But, you know, I'm blessed to have fans. You know, my song Man for That went like top 10 in England, or, you know, like Australia, New Zealand. And so that's like, I would have never had that had it not been for social media.
Totally. Yeah. And that's why, you know, and I guess as long as we're shining our light, that's all we can do, right?
That's
and just be
do.
Good by the people there. All right. Taylor Austin Dyer, everybody. Thank you for the time.
Thank you.
Awesome.